friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
All right, speaking of heroes, he is our hero on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. You can also see him on the Big Ten Network when you want to get ready and get hyped up for college football on Saturdays. And he is also the pride of Bedford and former Buckeye. Of course, on the fan hotline, he is the man that can make you smile even on the worst day when your team gave up 41 points. He's Tyvus Paul. Hi, Tyvus.
Hello, gentlemen. How you doing today?
Good. Is the sun shining where you are?
The sun is shining bright where I am. Nice little 80-degree day, you know, life's good.
Well, my friend, and it feels like the post-game show just wrapped up because I was just listening to you guys. Your thoughts on what we witnessed yesterday?
You know, it's one of those things, it's one of these moments that as Browns fans, you want to be optimistic. Even though you see all the signs in the offseason of what it's going to be and everybody's telling you what it's going to be, yeah, you want to be optimistic. And then when you see it happening, we're getting angry because we were the optimistic ones, when actually the signs had already showed that this was what it was going to be. So I'm at that point of the realization, the epiphany that this is
big
what
word.
It's going to be.
You've been hanging out with Phelps too much. You use a big word like epiphany. Now I feel like I'm in a Mensa class. Go ahead. Ask him the next
question. Doesn't take much, I guess, Tyvus, huh?
It doesn't. He dropped one of your lines yesterday on me yesterday, too. I go, man, you sound just like Jeff.
He told me.
What was the line? I can't remember.
And that's a show.
Oh, and that's a show. Yes, that's right. Sorry.
Which I stole from our buddy Chris Madden.
Okay.
Hi, Chris. So, Tyvus, are we allowed to just go ahead and accept and just say and admit to everybody, this is a rebuild? Or does the defense keep that from being the case?
I mean, the defense is going to go out there and continue to try to keep that from being the case. And you know what the sick thing is? Off the yardage, like total offense, they have outscored both teams or outgained yards on both teams.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the saddest part. Now, granted, a lot of it's in garbage time, but like that is a fact. I don't know why they can't figure this out. It's like I kind of know. I mean, your offensive line got old, which we already knew coming into the season. Joe Flacco is a statue, and guys aren't protecting long enough for the plays to develop, and he can't get out the way because he's not mobile as he once was. So that's why you see in this offense fail. The defense is going to continue to go out there and fight. They wanted to hold them under 20. I guess now they're going to have to hold them under 10 if they want to win these games.
You have more confidence that the running game can find itself or the passing game? Or neither?
I mean, I think it depends on – it just depends on the offensive line. I think that Quinshon showed you that, hey, he can get through a seam. He can break a tackle. He can get through a seam. You know, he had the explosive run at the end of the game, so that was nice to see. And the wide receivers – are getting open. They're just dropping passes, you know. So, like, it's not like it's all the way, like, terrible. Like, I can see the vision. Guys just got to make plays. Like I said, the people that on offense that you depend on to make a play, they not making them. Like that's the problem. Like, Cedric Tillman has dropped more passes this season than I've seen in a long time. Jerry Jeudy's dropping passes. The offensive line, the tackle situation where we rotating tackles at the left tackle, which is the most pivotal spot on the offensive line. We over here rotating that, and they're getting beat. And then Jack Conklin's out, so the right tackle's getting beat. So it's like the whole thing is just, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I guess the problem is we were spoiled a couple of years ago because we was down to our third and fourth string tackles and was still making the playoffs. So, you know, you got to be grateful for what you had at the time you had it.
Is that offensive line? I don't know. I mean, these guys are getting older, but – I mean, we had one of the best offensive line coaches in the game here. Are we seeing a result of that?
Has the offensive line looked the same since he walked out that door?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. Let me ask you this, Mr. Defensive Player. The Browns are first in the NFL in total yards allowed per game. The best, 191.5. They are third best in passing yards allowed per game, 146. They are first in rushing yards allowed per game, 45.5. Does that not frustrate you?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I get frustrated looking at the numbers.
I don't know what you want.
What's the question there? How do you not have a mutiny in the locker room? That's really the question.
I mean, you. I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've got in that locker room, and there's been some words saying. In a minute, it's probably going to be punches thrown soon because it's very frustrating that the defense is playing this well and this offense is just not holding up the end of the bargain. Then on top of that, like the defense, you got it minus 21 points because we threw a pick that almost went for six. That's not on the defense. Then you had a fumble recovery that went down. Like that's not on the defense. And then you had the blocked punt. Like that, so like you're really messing up the defense number. Like the offense is doing so bad that they giving up points on offense that's hurting the defense. Like so, it's they got to figure something out. I don't know. I don't know if it's the play caller. I don't know if it's the personnel. They got to do something because what they're doing currently is not going to work, and they losing a lot of faith from the fan base every single Sunday they walk out there.
Tyvus Powell joining us. You hear him on the Browns Radio Network with Andy pregame, with me postgame. Do you see any kind of a fix for what's going on with the offense that can be instituted this year from what's here?
The only way that it's going to get fixed, they got to run the ball more effectively. When you think of Kevin Stefanski's offense, he's always been – that run sets up everything because now you're getting play action. And if they not, linebackers not respecting the run game, the play action is never going to mean anything. So to me, I think they got to figure out a way to be more effective in the run game.
How much of this are you pointing the finger at Kevin Stefanski? A lot of fans want to do that today. I'm having trouble doing that, but there are just certain things I think he can control and things he can't control. So I don't know. Are you pointing the finger at Kevin at all?
I mean, I never really pointed the finger at him before, but I'm thinking about it. I've definitely been thinking about it. I think, you know, when you just think of his message of take care of the football and I don't want turnovers and play smart and stuff like that, if that's not happening on the field, why is that? Is something's not registering. He's not getting through to these guys, you know? And then you think about the play calling. Yeah, some of it you don't have the time to do, but some of the play calling, it's not an explosive offense. Like, we're not – like, you turn on any other game and you see receivers catching deep balls, fades, posts, slot fades, things like that. We don't do none of that. I haven't seen that not one time this season when we caught a deep ball. So, like – to me, like, where is the explosive? And not even in the run game. Outside of the Quinshon one run, like, we really haven't had any explosive runs. Like, we lack explosiveness in our offense. And I think that's the big problem with why teams feel the way they feel about us. Like, it's hard to dink and dunk all game. Like, to just throw check downs all games. It's very hard.
Or find your tight end in the middle of the field, right? That's the one play that seems to work. Right? You find it to five, anywhere from 9 to 11 yards down the field, they can find the tight end.
Well, like I said,
they against a soft D, right?
If I'm playing against this Browns team, like, what's the point of backpedaling? Like, they're not going deep, and it's been like that for some years, though. This isn't like this is the first time. Like, we've lacked explosiveness in our offense for quite some time.
At what point do you think about making a quarterback change? Do you think about it now? Do you have is Gabriel a better option than Flacco? Is Sanders a better option than Gabriel or Flacco?
Man, I just don't like throwing them in there against Green Bay. I think Green Bay's defense is legit right now, and the way our offensive line is playing, I just don't want to kind of ruin their confidence. You know, I think you need a veteran experience to deal with stuff like that. So I wouldn't do it right now. I told my mark has always been the Vikings game, the London game. That's always been the mark where I felt like, all right, if they want to go to another quarterback, this would be the perfect game to do it, and I still stand on that.
Can you help me fix some things here? Help me make them. Help me think they're going to be competitive against Green Bay. Make them competitive for me. What are you doing?
honestly, it's whoever plays the best defense wins that game. I mean, what I need to happen in that game is, one, they down Jaden Reed, so that's a receiver down. The Matthew Golden kid from Texas got some juice to him, but the speed thing doesn't really bother me. I think that him and Jordan Love is still ironing out some wrinkles, so they're not all the way clicking. He overthrew him a couple of times in his last game that they played. So I think that this is going to be a big Grant Delpit game because Tyler Kraft, the tight end, has been balling this season. And if you're going to play as much man as we play, the best matchup for that is probably a safety on him. So Grant Delpit is going to, if he's going to be the cover safety, he's got to do a really, really good job, which they paid him. They paid him. So this is why you pay guys like this. And he wants these type of assignments. He's got to do a really good job on him. And Miles and the rest of that D-line got to continue to keep hunting because on the Green Bay side, Jeff Hafley is doing some amazing things with disguise and coverage where guys don't know what they plan. And Michael Parsons and the rest of that D-line is doing a really good job of getting pressure. So, honestly, the Browns defense is going to have to come out and be ready to play for four quarters to really keep them off the board.
Tyvus Powell joining us. I asked you something yesterday on the postgame show, and you kind of touched on it a bit ago when you talked about fist fights and guys getting really mad. If you're on that defense right now, what do you do? How do you approach this?
I mean, you look at it like you can't really point the finger. Like as easy as it is in these two games to point the finger at somebody else, on defense, your job is to not let them score, no matter what the circumstances is. I don't care if they get the ball on a half-inch line. Like, you got to defend that. Every blade of grass is the motto. So his defense got to find a way, no matter how bad the offense might look, how many kicks the kicker might miss, like, you can't let that stop you. You got to embrace being out on that field and embrace trying to get three and outs and get that ball back. And then on top of that, if you see the offense struggling, there's nothing against the rules that's saying you can't force a fumble, strip the ball, or get a pick and take it to the house and put points up yourself. So, you know, that might be the next step that these guys got to do to keep these games competitive.
You talk about these fights in the locker room. Do you have a story to share with us? Or was this a Bedford, Ohio State, NFL? You got to share it? You got a story
for them? What did put them in position to get
you don't
in
have
trouble?
You don't have to put names to it. And in fact, you don't even have to tell me what level. But do you have a good locker room story?
I mean, have I seen fights in the locker room? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, like a good one.
I've seen fights in the locker room. I've seen real beef. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the story real quick. When I was in Seattle as a rookie in 2016, right, Cam Chancellor had got hurt, and we had this safety by the name of Kelsey McCray that went in for Cam. So all week in practice, we were a cover three team. So what happened is if a tight end and a wide receiver was to the same side, right, okay, they could play. They could do what they call, instead of the safety being a buzz player, meaning he got the curl flats, instead of him doing that, they can call a stretch call, which means the corner's going to play man on the wide receiver, that safety's going to play man on that tight end, right?
Okay.
So we're playing the Atlanta Falcons at the time. This is Julio Jones and Roddy White at the time. So they go into the game knowing that that's in their back pocket. So what happened is, they played it a certain way. So Kelsey and Sherm played it a certain way. I can't remember which way they played. I can't remember if they made the stretch call or not. But whatever they did, it worked. And Sherm and Kelsey said, okay, that's how we're going to play it for the rest of the day. Cool, right? Okay. Everybody's on the same page. They see the same look again. They don't play it the same way. Julio Jones is running, streaking down the field wide open. So Sherm is upset. He's blowing up on the sideline. And it took the entire team to hold him back because he was ready to kill Kelsey on that sideline. And the whole entire team had to stop Sherm from killing Kelsey on that sideline. I go on to say they went on the rest of that season. I don't think those dudes ever said a word to each other for the rest of the season. So it was real beef in that locker room at that point.
That's awesome. All right, great story.
Sounds like Baskin and Phelps.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the end now, like I'm on the know, like I was on that team. Thanks for the good stuff, man. We appreciate it.
No problem.
It's
fabulous.
All right, Tyvus, we'll see you next weekend. How's that sound?
Thanks, buddy.
Go Bucks and still go Browns.
There you go. Thank you, Tyvus Powell, Browns Radio Network. He's all over the place, too. He's
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Of course, we are rehashing yesterday's game. It's kind of like post-mortem, post-game for you that like to hang out with us on Mondays as we do a little Bronze Therapy Monday, give you the opportunity to get it off your chest. 216-474-0092 is the number to call in. We are going to get to the Guardians at some point during this hour as well, too. And we're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders and a little story about Shedeur that was going on over the weekend. We'll get to all that within the hour. Kevin Stefanski's press conference at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. So, I don't know why, but like I feel like apathy creeping in on this team right now too. And I know it's too early.
What do you
in the
mean
season.
You don't know why?
Maybe I don't know why because
16 and 17 points, Dandy. That's why.
Normally I would be angry. I'm not even angry at this point. I was embarrassed yesterday, especially at the end of the game. I think a lot of Browns fans were embarrassed yesterday. It's just not the way to lose games in the end. I mean, Jeff, how many times have we said NFL teams normally get 21 points just for showing up? They do. They just, it's like the SAT. What do they give you? X amount of points for just signing your name? Okay. In the NFL, most NFL teams can get to 20 or 21 points. Not the Browns. And it's hard to watch this. And again, I was a Flacco fan. I'm still a Flacco fan. I want him to do well.
How can you not like him? He sounds great. He's had a fine career. He was never an absolute upper echelon quarterback. Let's not be delusional.
True.
He was a good quarterback.
Good, consistent quarterback that could help you win if you put him in the right position and has the right players around him.
And he was playing on a terrific Baltimore team for a long time. So let's not be delusional about that. And I, you know, my hope was, I said it time and time again, I hope somebody here beats out Joe Flacco. Because if your best option at quarterback is a 40-year-old quarterback who hasn't really played very well since he left Baltimore, except for one stretch, 5 games here, then you're in trouble. Well, guess what? We're in trouble.
Yeah, I think even the Flacco fanatics have kind of, not that they've turned on him, they just, They're questioning whether you've got some young guys that you'd be interested in seeing playing at this point. If Kevin came out next week and said, you know what, and I know everyone said, well, it's Green Bay. Why would you want to throw this kid to the Wolves like that? I get it. But if Kevin came out and said, you know what, we really like Gabriel and we want to give him a chance and we're going to do this right
everybody
now.
Everybody would say, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question about that.
The question is, would the cheers be bigger? What if Kevin came out and said Shedeur is a starter this week? I don't think he's going to be, but I mean, he hasn't been active for the first 2 games. What would make you think he'd be the starter over Gabriel? It would not happen. The only way it would happen is injury.
You know, if you do eventually make a move and you start Dylan Gabriel and something happens to him, I would think you wouldn't go back to Joe. I would think you would play Shedeur.
When is the right time to make? What would be the final straw to make the change? Kevin said yesterday, I'm not changing quarterbacks. What is the right time to change? What are we looking for to see if they're going to change?
I would say the right time to change is now.
Before you get to Green Bay?
What difference does it make? Why do you think, again, we've been put in a position where we end up, to make our point, have to bash a guy who doesn't deserve to be bashed. And that's Joe.
Right.
He's 40 years old. His best years are many years in the rearview mirror. Can he still throw? Yeah. Can he still run around real well? No. Does he still have a tendency to turn the ball over? Yes. He's had a great career. I would love him to be a backup quarterback. I think that's where most teams would like to have him. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore. I'd start Dylan Gabriel now, personally. Why not? Do you honestly think that Joe Flacco is going to give you any better chance to win against Green Bay's defense? I'd make the argument that Dylan Gabriel's mobility, the ability to roll out of the pocket a little bit, the ability to actually make some plays with his feet, would give you a better chance to win against the Green Bay Packers.
Dan, when would you make the change?
Before the Miami game.
Oh, you're going all the way down to Miami.
Reason being, I want to put my rookie quarterback in a position where he can, A, has a full week to scout, and B, is not going up against Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary and Quay Walker and Evan Williams Xavier McKinney and that Packers defense that is really, really, really fast.
If you think
really good.
If you think he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, what's the difference? He's going to be playing against great players every week.
Right, I'm just kind of taking Jeff's side. Don't you want to ease him in a little bit? Don't you want him to sit there and see it a little bit more and really realize how fast all of this stuff is moving? Like, that's my thing. I want to ease him in. I don't want to go, all right, buddy, here's the deep end. By the way, your left tackle had to leave the game because he was tired.
Daniel, let me...
Like, don't we want to sort this out before
can I put a twist on this for you?
There?
Can I put a twist on this for you?
The left tackle had to leave the game because he was tired, Jeff.
Let me put a twist on this for you. You can't rush him out on the field quickly enough because they're going to draft a quarterback next year, and that guy's your quarterback in the future unless one of these kids goes in now and surprises everybody. And if you wait to Miami or wait halfway through the season, you're not going to get enough of a sample size to change anybody's mind about taking a quarterback next year.
I politely disagree with you. A lot of teams have made a decision on a half a season. It has happened quite often that you see something click in a half a season and go, all right, this is it. Let's roll.
Not to pass up.
Jordan Love got paid off a half a season.
Not to pass up the opportunity that you're going to have in next year's draft. That's the difference.
Jordan Love got paid off a half a season, Jeff.
But Dan.
I mean, I've seen it, buddy. Dan, this can't happen.
They had already invested in him. My point is this.
Yeah.
Green Bay didn't have two first-round picks sitting there in the next year in a quarterback-heavy draft waiting to take the best guy they could. Ooh. That's the difference here. I couldn't agree with you.
They actually might have.
I couldn't agree with you more about giving a guy a chance to develop. But in this situation, you have two first-round picks next year. I can't see any way that they're not taking a quarterback unless Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders went out and played 12 to 15 games and was unbelievable.
Here's how I'm going to size this up for when I think the time is right to switch on Flacco. I say you start him this week against Green Bay. Do you remember the feeling you had?
I hope he doesn't get laid out by Micah Parsons.
What's someone's going to get hit by Micah Parsons.
I know.
So Andy, that's okay.
That's my point. I'd like a guy who might be able to avoid him.
I'm starting Joe this week, but you remember that feeling you had when Andre Schmidt stepped up to make his first kick in yesterday's game, and you said to yourself, if he misses this, he's probably done? I kind of feel the same way about Joe right now. If he has a bad first half or something goes sideways in the first half, I've seen enough. I know where we're going with this. I do think that if they need a starting quarterback, he could start any one of these games this season if he wants to hang around. But by the same token, you drafted Gabriel for a reason. You drafted Sanders for a reason. And if you feel like you're walking down that hole for your third loss in a row and your team hasn't scored any points, I'm with you on this, Jeff. I agree. What do they have to lose? And by the way, I don't care how good Green Bay is. I don't care how soft you think Miami is. I don't know what you think about New England. If you're going to throw him in the fire, you may as well throw him in the fire. I don't know if you're going to ruin his career like we have with other quarterbacks before, and I've seen that happen before, but I'm at the point now where the Flacco thing, it's not that he's completely sideways. It's the season is starting to go sideways. When you get blown out 41-17, that is bad. Ryan, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Rhino. How are you?
Ryan. Hey, yes, sir, gentlemen. Yep. Hey, how you doing? Just the office of stepping through for Browns Therapy Monday. Because I really need some. Hey, just a real quick tidbit on the How We're Smarter Today. I've been calling on the show for a million years, seems like, and I call you Andy, Haskins, and Phelps, but now I do know, sir, I will call you Jeff from here on out. You guys are awesome. Listen to me, so that's who I want to be called. You can call us anything you want.
Yeah, just make sure we don't have to dump you.
The show's called Baskin and Phelps.
We get it here. We totally understand.
We don't care.
You guys rock. Hey, man, I just want to chime in, obviously, about the unique scenario. Again, man, we are stuck in the mud as Browns fans. This is just, we're the doormat again. We're collectively holding it together. You guys are being our therapist again on Monday, which is awesome, as always, getting us through this. Being a Browns fan is the toughest gig in all the NFL fan bases, I think. But again, at the same time, man, you guys made a lot of great points. This is just a unique scenario. What do we do moving forward with the quarterback conundrum? Everyone on planet Earth knows that our objective is moving forward to that NFL drafts, collectively getting draft picks, et cetera, monitoring Jacksonville. That's where our brain is at. Same time, we still have a full season ahead of us, man. We got, you know, obviously 15 more games to go. So what do we do? Is there any growing scenario? And again, what else other than putting in a guy that needs to get his, you know, his feet wet in the system? And obviously it's Gabriel Shador. We as fans want to see if there's either of these dudes can succeed or not. It's just what it is as NFL fan. We already know what Flacco is. We already know what all this other stuff is. We're not going to win this year. We are already moving forward. At least we can at least see what, if anything, is out there moving forward for next year or this year in particular. So throwing Gabriel out there, in my opinion, is great. I think it's going to be against Minnesota, against Jeff, your McCarthy dude, who, in my opinion, is not succeeding. If there's any win in
front of us, no.
Yeah, I tell you, man, he just laid an egg last night. But anyway, it's about the Browns. Yeah, I feel that putting a guy in there, again, like you guys said, man, again, even before Green Bay, I'm sorry, before Miami, I think Minnesota would be that game. There's got to be something, a glimmer of hope, guys. Give me something moving forward, because me as an avid Browns fan, I don't see it this year, but I'm hopeful there is something. Anyway, guys, great show as always.
Thank you, Rhino. Appreciate it. If you want to hop in like Ryan did, 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski coming up at 1 o'clock. That's Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders story. We're going to talk about that when we come back here, too. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. Get it off your chest. It's a Therapy Monday. You know, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about what you thought of yesterday's game and maybe try to find some answers and solutions, but I think it's kind of tough. One of the stories that came out this weekend, Jeff, was Adam Schefter, NFL insider, reported that Shador Sanders, there was a story that the Ravens wanted to draft him in the fifth round. Yep. And Shador said no, because he thought he'd have a better opportunity to play for the Browns rather than for the Ravens. And
was it the Browns or anybody?
I don't know.
He didn't want to back up Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's basically what the story was. Mm-hmm. So I just your thoughts on that. And then Shador answered the question, sort of, after the game yesterday.
I think backing up Lamar Jackson would be a great opportunity for any young quarterback, but probably not the opportunity to get yourself on the football field anytime soon.
No, he probably knew the fastest track to get on the field would be here in Cleveland. Now it feels like...
Or somewhere else. New Orleans.
New Orleans would have been another play. Good play, too. Yeah, I agree with that. Dan, what did you think when you heard the story?
I kind of shrugged my shoulders and went, okay, if this is truly what took place, that he's turning down teams that were going to draft him because he didn't want to sit there, then maybe the free fall begins to make a little bit more sense than just what took place on the field. It's kind of what took my initial thought.
According to the story, he straight out said to Baltimore, no, please don't draft me.
Yeah, but that wouldn't mean that Baltimore wouldn't draft him if they wanted him.
I don't know. If somebody said, don't draft me,
yeah, exactly. I wouldn't. If you're on the phone with somebody saying, hey, we want to make you the next draft pick, and he went,
no, I'll pass. Your marketing team is ridiculous. They think that it's a good idea to celebrate the 30th anniversary of leaving Cleveland. I want nothing to do with you. I'm a Clevelander. I don't want to hear anything. This was before he knew he was going to get picked by the Browns. Wouldn't that have been great? No. No. You guys want to celebrate 30 years and throw it in the face of Browns fans? I want nothing to do with you. You want to be a fan? That's Bernie Kosar legend stuff there, if that would have been true. All right, so he was asked about this, right?
Post game yesterday.
Here it is.
I don't even remember anything post-drive. I remember I'm here, I go to practice every day, and, you know, it's a 24-hour rule.
Did that catch you off guard to see that?
What?
Just that report that when that came out?
I just found out since y'all tell me.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it until you told me, so.
So you are a little surprised to hear that.
Nah, I don't really, it serves no purpose in my life.
All right, I respect that. You really think he just found out yesterday from the reporters telling him?
Yes.
I kind of believe that, too.
He's a little busy. He's not, I would hope he's not checking out social media.
Do you guys remember when the story came out? It came out on Saturday, right?
I think it came out yesterday.
Oh, it came out in the morning yesterday?
I think it came out around game time.
I believe Saturday.
You think so?
I don't know why I thought it was Saturday.
I'll check and make sure.
Okay. And by the way, I mean, he's kind of sequestered.
And what difference does it make anyway?
Nah.
Seriously. What difference does
it make?
Think
somebody would have said something to him about it. Although he lived it, if it was true. So what's the difference?
Yeah, if he was told about it and it happened, he knew.
Huh. I don't know. So
it was yesterday morning.
It was yesterday morning. I don't know why I thought it was Saturday.
Game day, baby.
I don't know. They all run together.
He has other things to do. That team breakfast is pretty good.
So that's true. He probably did hear it for the first time when he was. So they caught off guard. I thought it was a good answer. He's really good with the media. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Whether the guy can play or not, he's good with the media. He gets it. He understands what's going on.
He holds his own, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well done. And I'm sure that, you know, lifelong training with his dad, I'm sure probably helped out too. Let's take a couple more phone calls here. Fred is in Maple Heights. What's up, Fred?
Frederick.
Hey, is there any way we can play like all the quarterback? Like, can we see what we got out of Flacco? Can we get two games now? We seen what we got out of Dylan in the last bit of that game. Can we put Shador in, and then can we just work our way down the list of till we get to Watson and put him in? And then, like, I'm so furious with this draft pick because I keep hearing everybody talk about Andrew Berry and the drafts he did this year. But, like, how is that going to help us going forward, man, with the quarterback situation when you got an old beat-up line out there? Like, no matter who you put back there, we're going to have the same old song and dance. We ain't got receivers we can throw to. And can we do something about Judy? Can we move him? We don't got special teams.
You don't want him? Who's going to want him? That's the problem. I know you don't want him. What makes you think anybody else is going to want him? He can't hang on to the football. I'm sure he could be a number. I mean, he's a number two here. No, you know, I know people want him to be the one, but that's not the case. I just.
Special teams suck. Can we fire the person? We haven't had special teams since Cribs. Since Cribs. And that speaks a lot because, like, yo, that wasn't even that much then. I don't understand how these guys still be having jobs. Somebody else got to be making the – is Stefanski, do you think he's really – is he okay with the people he got on the field, the personnel, or – I'm just trying to figure
you had
out
two out of, at one point, you had two out of your five offensive linemen yesterday. And by the way, Fred, I agree with you on this, man. What if Gabriel or Sanders is something? Because I really want them to be so they could maybe draft two offensive linemen in the first round. That would drive everybody crazy. But you know what? All of a sudden, maybe you feel like you got your quarterback out of this year and you can go improve on an offensive line. It all does start with the offensive line, doesn't it? And right now, it's not feeling too good, especially when you only have 3 year starters out there.
Yeah, I'm tired, man. We could be using this draft capital we got this year. We could have been using some of this draft capital on other pieces around the thing. If we knew we weren't going to do anything with a QB, why wouldn't we use those pieces in areas of desperate need? Again, receivers. We haven't had one. It takes time for rookies to develop. We had plenty of opportunities to draft receivers. Why can't we just go after what we need, man? Positions of need versus the hype.
Analytics, my friend. Analytics. Fred, I agree with 99.9% of everything you just said. I'm with you on that.
What's the point when you didn't?
What do you mean? Oh, I did. No, I had to leave myself some backtracking. Yeah, just in case he said something that I have to go back and regret. So I had to leave myself point one. Mark, you're in Cleveland. Hi, Mark.
Hey, fellas, just put some perspective on that Shador Baltimore thing. They was looking to draft him in the fifth round.
Right.
And took him two spots. So his free fall didn't happen just because, you know, off of that alone, you know. So I want to clear that up. Next, man,
I don't believe
everybody up here upset. We already told you what Joe Flacco was going to bring to the table, Andy. We knew he was an interception machine. I mean, the turnover machine. I mean, this is what we was going to get. I'm like Jeff, like we've been saying the whole time, we need to have these guys in there, the young guys, playing so we know what we got. And I mean, and I really hate to hear that. It's going to be a great draft class next year. Who's saying that? All the pundits. The same pundits that said Shador was the second best quarterback, right? Come on, man. I mean,
there's some pretty good college. Are you watching college football on Saturdays? Hard?
Of course.
Okay. I'm just saying. You don't see any good quarterbacks there?
I mean, we're 2 weeks in. Good until they get to the NFL, Andy. We don't know what they are until they play.
And some don't even look good in college, and then they suddenly look good in the NFL. That guy, in Buffalo, no one really knew what he was doing until he got there, right?
Arch Manning, the next Peyton Manning, though, right? No. He don't look like that, and everybody had crowned this kid already. We need to play what we got and see what we got out of these kids, man. We know what Joe Flacco is. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Mark, thank you. Appreciate you chiming in.
Go watch Lenora Sellers' video, Mark. Go watch. Go watch.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference is straight ahead. That's scheduled to be right here in about 9 minutes-ish, somewhere in there. So we're going to hit that up, and we'll continue on. I do want to get to the Guardians at some point. Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.